need this. The cold, black Antarctic. A huge iceberg floats through the water, colored brown and blue and green by the combination of sediment, plankton, glacial blue ice, and it measures 100 feet above sea level. What most people don't know is that most of an iceberg lies beneath the surface of the water. 600 feet below the 100 feet is still the iceberg. And God's wisdom is like that iceberg. Now, I don't know if you noticed in the reading this morning, but the word wisdom or sophia in Greek, philosophia, philosophy, philo is love, sophia is wisdom, so philosophy is the love of wisdom. God's wisdom is like that iceberg. To unbelievers, they only see the tip of the iceberg. And it's intellectually treacherous for them. It's blindingly unrealistic to them. And it's desperately purposeless to them. But to those who are graced by God's salvation, we can see below the surface of the water to the precious, quiet depths of God's wisdom. And that's what our passage today is speaking about, that believers can see the depths and unbelievers cannot. So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So wisdom is the main idea. We see that in verse 6. Paul has been telling the people of Corinthians, through Paul's eyes, we've been looking at, we've been thinking about Kenneth Bailey's book, Paul Through Mediterranean Eyes. And Paul has been looking at the people of Corinth. How many people have ever been in Corinth? I guess I'm the only person. So another person back there? No? I've been in Corinth, yes. And if you drive from Athens to Corinth, remember you drive along that really narrow road that comes into Corinth, and then what you see in Corinth is the Acropolis, which just like you have in Athens. Well, he's been telling the people of Corinth that their faith should not rest on human wisdom. That word wisdom in our English dictionary applies, is found about seven times. But in the Greek, it's 11 times that word sophia appears, and it's translated different ways in different verses here, and I'll point that out to you. Some Athenians philosophers saw Paul as weak, and we see that when he starts out by saying, my message, and Andy was so nice to mention that before I preached. They saw Paul as weak. What Paul is really saying when he says, I come to you in weakness and trembling in fear, he's saying that he has a strong dependence on God and subjection to God's authority. We see that in verses 3 to 6 in this passage. The wisdom spoken here, the wisdom, the sophia, can be also translated as insight, perception about people, about problems, about ourself, about love. This is also known as God's wisdom. God's wisdom. The thoughts of God's, the things of the Spirit, the mind of Christ. All of that is in this passage. The only people who can understand that are those who are mature and maturing in Christ, those are the people that can possess that kind of wisdom, which should give spiritual babes incentive to grow. Those who are new in Christ should have an incentive to grow in Christ so that it can experience the wisdom of God. For the deeper that we swim into Christian maturity, the more wisdom we have to live for the Lord. Insight. And that's what we need to have as we mature in Christ. God gives us insight into how to apply His word to our life, to the world about us, and how we can grow and know Him better. And so he starts out by talking about wisdom and the non-Christian. Wisdom and the non-Christian. Paul gives three reasons why non-believers can only see the tip of the iceberg. Believing Bible scholars are like lazy scientists. Those who might spend years just observing iceberg tips, but never look below the surface to see what icebergs are really made of. Are you tired of having a shallow understanding of God? Are you ready to take the plunge into a deeper knowledge of God? If so, you need to dive in and experience the depths of God's wisdom. Now, why do non-believers not understand? First, he says in 7a, it's a mystery. Paul explains that believers speak God's wisdom in a mystery. Mysterion is the word in Greek. It sounds just like mystery, which conveys the idea of a secret, but not a mystery. Interesting that Andy should begin by talking about he has a secret. Mysterion conveys the idea of a secret, not a mystery. A mystery is something that's complex, that's intertwined, and that's hard to grasp. But a secret is something that is clear to those who have been let in on the secret. So if I tell my wife a secret and I say, don't tell anybody, you don't know. That's what a secret is. So God reveals to those who know Him the secrets, the mystery. To unbelievers, wisdom is a secret they aren't in on. When they listen to believers speak, it's a language they hear only unintelligible words. They can't understand it because it's only God's Spirit, and we'll talk about His Spirit in a minute. It's only God's Spirit that reveals it to those that know Christ. You know, those that were here yesterday when our speaker was talking about somebody asked a question. Maybe it was John, or maybe it was Wayne asked the question, well, who's an evangelical? And he mentioned that those who have the Spirit of God, those who are born again, that's who he sees as evangelicals. And those are the people that are given the key to unlock the wisdom of God. Unbelievers are not given that key. Second reason, it's not understood. We see that in verse A, the first part of it. The local Greeks of Paul's time would know the word gnosko, which refers to knowledge, born out of a deep personal understanding. And deep personal understanding or knowledge that comes from God is only revealed by God's Spirit. Spiritual depth perception comes from experientially knowing God, not just intellectual comprehension of truths about Him. Should I repeat that? A lot of big words in there. To unbelievers, they don't know God's wisdom. Spiritual depth perception comes from experientially knowing God, not just intellectual comprehension about God. Reminding us about the human rulers who executed Christ. We see that in verse A. He says, if they'd have known who this guy was, they wouldn't have put the nails in his hands. Had the human authorities understood this, they would have never executed Christ. And finally, he says that the non-Christians can't learn this. It's a mystery, it's not understood, and it's not learned. We see that in verse 9. It says that believers cannot gain insight, through mere observation and mere experience. They can spend the next 20 years studying in the most prestigious schools, adding letters and titles after their name, being widely traveled and well-read, but they can never learn the depths that God has for them, His wisdom, and can only be acquired through the Spirit of God. It must be secured by the heart. It must be secured by faith. It must be secured as the Spirit speaks within you. But the unbeliever does not have the Spirit. I've already mentioned those things earlier. Wisdom and the Christian. Paul shares with the Corinthians how they, as modern day saints, can discover the hidden treasures of God's priority based solely on His grace. The priority is clear. God chooses to give it to believers. He goes on to describe God's tool to help believers understand. And the only person that can tell us about God is God's Spirit. We see that in verse 11. And he uses a human analogy to illustrate his points. There are some things that are so personal, so intimate, which only God and God's Spirit knows, and God's Spirit is the only person that can teach us these truths. The moment we place our trust in God, the moment we do that, the Holy Spirit joins our lives and begins transforming us into Christ's image. He indwells us. He liberates us from the power of sin. He searches the depths of God's wisdom and communicates His thoughts to us as we draw upon His resources. Next, he gives us the process. The process is His Spirit. There are some things that are so personal, so intimate, that only God's Spirit can know. And finally, he gives us the purpose. God promises us the Spirit the moment we are saved. We have no need to wait to receive Him. The moment you have faith in Christ, you receive His Spirit. The Spirit lives within us. Paul tells us why God does that for us. Look at verses 12 and verses 13. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught in human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. God's Spirit lives within us. Job says that wisdom has two sides, a surface and a depth. Just like that iceberg, there is a surface and a depth. The Spirit is given to us that we may know the depth. We may know the depth. Surface, let's give you an illustration. The surface is the ministry of the Word. And is that important? Yeah, it's very important. But what is the depth? If the surface is the ministry of the Word, God wants more than that. The deep side is the ministry of the Spirit. That is where the Spirit takes the truth of the Word into the depths of our soul and ministers to us. It is the only way that we can fully know the depths of God is by yielding to His Spirit as we study His Word, as we pray, as we get to know Him. And that is only for believers. Only for believers. Remember, we talked about the scientist that can look at an iceberg from afar and see what he sees from afar, but if he never goes down to the depths of the iceberg, he'll never know really what that iceberg is all about. Now let's wrap up on wisdom. For the non-Christian, the natural man cannot understand the truths about God. Without the Spirit's indwelling ministry, unbelievers will never know experientially the riches of the Spirit. For spiritual matters to the unbeliever are foolishness. Unbelievers may grasp them superficially, but they will never know them personally. They will never know them deeply. And we as believers can know them deeply by the indwelling Holy Spirit through our study of His Word and through trusting in Him in prayer to reveal it to us. And finally, the maturing Christian. The flip side of the unsaved person is the maturing Christian. They have the Spirit's control in their lives. They still wrestle with sin, but they confess it daily, and they speak with God, keeping their hearts clean. But we have the mind of Christ. Read the last verse in your passage. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the wisdom that is given to us by the Spirit of God. Let's not forget that as we leave here today. We have the mind of Christ. And we have tools. We have things like the Operation World app. Lorraine and I read it this morning. So I knew the answer to Celia's questions. Where's Celia? I knew the answer. I knew it was Paraguay because I had read it and I had prayed for them this morning. Let's all enter into that wisdom that the Spirit gives us as we pray for the needs of our world, as we pray for the needs of Slough, as we pray for the needs of Slough Baptist Church.